You are listening to BensTorah.com.
For Lag BaOmer, I wanted to talk about Eliyahu HaNavi, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, the Zohar, and I really want to ask one question on maybe a significant portion of Chachmas HaKabbalah that, as I understand, is really the revelations that Eliyahu HaNavi shared with Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and communicated to us in the Zohar. And it's a very simple question that is asked in many different forms about many different places in halacha. And that is the sugya of lo b'shamayim hi, which in its first form is dealt with in Psak, as far as do we listen to a bas kol, do we not listen to a bas kol. So just before I get into the sugya, just by show of hands, how many have gotten bas kols before? That's one, two, three. Okay, fine. Okay. Right. Okay, so unfortunately, we don't have too many baskels nowadays, and Chazal pointed that out, that absent the Beis HaMikdash, we don't have baskels. Not absent the Beis HaMikdash, but absent a certain level that we no longer have. There are different dargas of revelation of Hashem's revealing himself. The highest is called Nevuah. Right, no, I don't know. The highest is right. Whatever your wife tells you, you do. Baskel, no baskel, just do it. So the highest level of communication of Hashem to a human being is nevuah. Then there's something called a baskel. Then there's something called Ruach HaKodesh. Then there's something called. So maybe we don't have nevuah bizman hazeh. Maybe at some point in history there was a baskel. Maybe we don't have baskel bizman hazeh, but there might still be something called some kind of Ruach HaKodesh. Maybe if there's not Ruach HaKodesh, maybe we have at least a certain Siyat HaDishmaya to certain great people. I'm sure some of you might have stories about your interactions with Reb Chaim or the Chazon Ish or the Stipler. There's some wild stories. At least one I heard from the mouth of the person to whom it... Two I heard from the mouth of the person to whom it, things like this happened. But, okay, so that could be a certain amount of understanding that Hashem gives a human being, but we're going to talk about a bas kol. This is the Gemara that we'll start with, the most well-known Gemara that you are probably familiar with the story. We'll look at it quickly, and then we're going to get into some kashas and some stiras to this story. So the story is about Metzia Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph, and this is the story of Tanur Shel Achnai, and it's a certain kind of oven made out of pieces with held together with sand, holding the joints together. And because it's not a full unit, it's like broken up already. So there's a machlokas whether it's going to be tamir or tahar. Rabbi Eliezer says it's tahar, and Chachamim argued on him. And of course, you know the story. There are four things that Rabbi Eliezer said to prove his point. Number one, as you have number one, Amar lahem im halacha kamosi charzei ochiach. Let this carob tree prove that I'm right. And what happened? The charav jumps up 100 amos and flies away in front of the chachamim's eyes, and they clearly see that Rabbi Elazar is right. And what's their response? The response is, you can't bring prayas in a sugya from a carob tree jumping. Number two, halacha kamosi amos hamayim yuchichu. Let the river prove me right. And the amos hamayim starts flowing backwards, and they say, sorry, in a sugya, you can't bring a raya from a river. Now here you have to sort of figure out what he's trying to say. After he said that the coastal base of Medrash Yochichu, the walls of the base Medrash started to fall down. Now, if there's a conversation that's happening in the base Medrash, and the people are sitting there, and the walls of the base Medrash fall down, what happens? I assume that means they bury the people who are inside. So why in the world did Rabbi Eliezer say this? Maybe he felt that if there's a base medrash that's going to have the wrong psak, the wrong halacha, doesn't deserve to stand. The people don't deserve to. I don't know, but nevertheless, the walls of the base medrash start.
The tamar, which is not strong and together, so the walls also.
Or maybe the nes is the walls felt
that the tanner is not really held together. That's why it's tar. It's not real clean. The whole walls should, maybe. What do you want to say to my show?
Maybe the ceiling didn't fall. That was like to prove his point. The walls fell without the roof.
The walls fell. I think even if the walls would fall with the roof, at the moment that he commanded them to, that would also be pretty incredible. But maybe the walls, the ceiling was just going to stay suspended in the air. The walls would start falling. Don't know.
He didn't say what should happen.
He didn't.
Right.
But I guess what is it? So if you're saying he didn't even ask for it, Hashem
made.
So the lesson is still equally there. The fact that Hashem said, made the walls fall down, and only continues the Gemara of Yeshua says, no, they let them stay up. So the walls stood up. At his words, finally, the last of the four proofs that Rabbi Elazar tried to marshal from the heavens. Im halacha kamotzi, number four, min hashamayim yochichu, yotza baskol, and the baskol comes out and says, the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer, not only here in this case of this tanur shel achnai, but bechol makom. And Rabbi Yeshua says, sorry, buddy. I don't know if Rabbi Yeshua said it to the baskol or to Rabbi Elazar or to the people around him. Lo b'shamayim hi. What does that mean? My lo b'shamayim hi. That means that shekfar nitna Torah mehar Sinai ein anu mashkichim b'baskol. Because the Torah says, shekfar kasavta b'har Sinai b'torah achrei rabba mahatos. So the Torah already told us how to paskin, the way we paskin is following Chachamim, following the majority, and therefore, since the Chachamim are arguing Rabbi Elazar, the Torah already told us what the halacha is.
Can we disprove what the gentleman said between Chimara? He answered that the paskin was not deciding what the halacha is, Tomei or Par. He was just saying
a general thing. That's true. Yeah. Exactly. No, he was saying we only listen to it if.
Right, but it's the same logic.
No, there maybe he was saying that maybe you would listen to a baskel if the baskel was general, but you wouldn't listen to a baskel if the baskel is specific.
Baskel is general.
Right. Yeah, that's true. So one of the Rishonim says your point. Okay, so what do we see from the sugya? This is the famous story that the sugya begins with, that we see Lo b'shamayim hi, and to this story we have a stira in Shas. Tosis in Bava Metzia, right here on this daf, and Yevamos also on Daf Yudalid. This is the Gemara in Bava Metzia. Tosis asks a stira in the Gemara from the Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara in Yevamos tells us that we follow Beis Hillel because there's a baskel that says we follow Beis Hillel. That's what the Gemara in Yevamos says. So if there's a baskel, the reason why we always follow Beis Hillel is because there's a baskel that says follow Beis Hillel, and we do follow that. We do always pass like Beis Hillel. And here we say we don't listen to baskels, so then what's up with the baskel by Beis Hillel that we do listen to? So we seem to have a stira in Shas. Do we listen to a baskel or not? Tosus gives one or two answers. And the answers that we're going to see in Tosus are going to be incredibly illuminating to figure out what to do if you happen to get a baskel on your way home from shul tonight. We're going to talk about some high things. So, you know, even without the special treats we have after, you know, no, I'm joking. Even without any, any chemical help, you might be floating home tonight. So we're going to get into a little bit of Kabbalah later. Not real Kabbalah, but people who talk about Kabbalah, at least. So comes the Tosis and says, you know why the baskel that to Pasai Beisel we do follow, but the baskel to listen to Rebbe Elazar here about the Tanash Nachna we don't listen to? Look at what Tosus says. Answer number one. Shani Hacha. The case over here by the Tanash Achnai is Balachal Kaldivrei Torah. The Baskol is anti-halachic. The Baskol is saying, you, Rebbe Elazar, the Miut, the Yachid, halacha should be like you. You're right. But we know that that's against the halacha because the halacha is Achrei Rabim Lahatas. They follow the majority. So according to this, what do you see? Do we listen to baskels or do we not listen to baskels? According to this answer of Tosos, we listen to baskels, except if they're against halacha.
What's the point then?
The point is that if you don't know what the halacha is, you could listen to a baskel. The only time that you don't listen to a baskel is if
you ask the Rav, you ask the baskel the Rav, and then you have a Rav Nach Adosu Nesek.
If you don't know what to do in a certain halacha, and there's a baskel that comes, and there's a machlokas 50-50, there's a machlokas Rebbe Yashiv against Shmuel Zalman, and you don't know who to paskin like. So what are you going to do? You daven hard, you ask the baskel, and the baskel comes down to paskin like. Oh, what about Lobo Shemayim? Tosas just said, no, that's only here, because the Torah said, don't follow the minority, follow the majority. That's when you don't listen to a baskel. But if it's not against halacha, you can listen to a basco. That's what comes out. Yeah.
By Shammai and Hillel, the Shammai was considered Harifi Tfeh. So they argued that, yeah, they still have a good majority, but you're not even in our league. You're like a community college, more like an Ivy League. So just because of the majority, get 10,000 community college students and 50 Ivy League students, you listen to the Ivy League students.
That's the point I said,
so,
yeah.
Right. So Boskel had to tell you that you listen to Rove nonetheless.
There, the Boskel is telling that you listen to Rove even against a majority, even if they are not as sharp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need it about,
but we are, but you see, right. But we're saying that you do listen to Boskel.
Only because, despite we had the rule of Avraham.
The rule would have.
I don't know
if we would have said, meaning in a general case, if you have again a base din of three dayanim, and two dayanim are dodo heads, and one dayan is really smart.
Yeah.
You think you'd follow the really smart one?
This gemara that Rabbi Yeshua says, Lo Shemayim, is his punchline is.
So Tos is being medayik that the only reason why we're not following the Basco in the case of Tar Shel Achnai is because against the Torah that said Achrei Avin Latos.
But the Shami was arguing on that institution of Achrei Avin Latos. So you needed something over Achrei Avin Latos to set the record straight. But that's what Shami's argument was.
I know his argument was about whatever he was arguing about. That's the. I don't know if they said that. They're just arguing on the whatever their case was. It happens to be. Okay, let's hold that. Tosfos gives another answer to the stira in Shas. Do we listen to a Basco now? Tosfos's answer is maybe really. I'm going to say it outside. Maybe really we should listen to a Basco, and that's why by Beis Hillel we listen to the Basco. You want to know why? In the case of Rebbe Lazar, who called out, Min HaShamayim Yochichu, you'll see that I'm right. You know why Basco came out? Not because he was really right. Not because that's really what Hashem holds, or the base of Shamala holds, but just because of cover for Rebbe Lazar. Could you imagine if nothing would have happened? Rebbe Lazar, one of the great tzaddikim hadar, calls out, I'll prove to you that I'm right. Let a voice come out from Hashem. Anyone hear anything? No? No? That would be terribly embarrassing to Rebbe Lazar. So, Hashem sent a Basco. So maybe one could argue, as Tosfos says, that's why we ignore that Basco. Stop. That means, in general, do you listen to a Basco? Yes, except if that one we don't listen to because maybe it only came to give cover. No, right. So when it seems that it might only come because of cover, but if on your way home, Shalom, on your way home, you get a Basco, should you listen to it? Of course. If it's an unsolicited Basco, it's not for covered, you would listen to a Basco. So what I just showed you is the Gemara says, Ein Shem LeBasco. I just showed you Tosfos. Both answers hold. In the right circumstances, you do listen to a Basco. Wow. Halacha L'maisa. So Rabosai, on your way home, listen carefully, because we'll follow a Basco if it's not going to be against Halacha or not for anyone's covered. That's what Tosfos says. Ways is the Basco, right? So that is Shitas Tosfos. Shitas Tosfos, I just showed you in two different, you know, back to back, but in two different answers of Tosfos. Tosfos says you do listen to a Basco fundamentally, as long as it's not for someone's covered, it's not for going against halacha. You do listen to a Basco. That's going to be very against the Rambam, because look at the Rambam towards the bottom of the page. What I underlined, the Rambam is talking about what happens when you have a navi who makes up halachas and the like. Let's say a Navi stands up and says, you know, Torah doesn't apply anymore, or here's a mitzvah that you don't know about, or don't do those mitzvahs. You could think of a person with the initials JC, for example, or anybody else throughout human history. If somebody, a Navi, gets up and undermines, uproots a halacha that we learned, what are the words mipi hashmo mean in the Rambam? Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. I'm not sure exactly what those three words. Tvarim Shel Amanu Mi-Pi Hashmo. Maybe it's Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, or I don't know really enough what if it means Drabbanan, Zeraisas. Okay, anyway, the Navi gets up and undermines a halacha. Oh, She'amar B'din Midin. Yeah, let's assume a Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. Oh, meaning he comes and tells you Tefillin should be yellow, or could be yellow. Oh, Shamra, what I underlined, B'din Midin HaTorah, Shashem Tzivah Lo, Shadin, Kachu, V'Halach, K'dri Ploni. in whatever mitzvah he happens to be discussing, he says, the halacha is like this, and we're passing like such and such. That's my nevuah. You know what we do after he comes and tells us who we should paskin like? If there's machlokas, Rabbi Yashua and Shlomo Zalman Zatzal, a guy comes and says, I had a nevuah that Hashem told me you should paskin like Shlomo Zalman. What do you do with this guy? You kill him tomorrow morning. Hareza Navi Hashekha V'yechonik. Even if he brings a proof, even if he does magic, Shari Bola Hachish HaTorah. Shatorah Amra Lo Bashamayim Hi. I want you to look at those last five words. How is saying, listening to a Baskel against the Torah? Not because, oh, you're following the minority instead of the majority. The Torah told us, Lo Bashamayim Hi. If the Torah tells us Lo Bashamayim Hi, and you're telling us that I found that from Shamayim, you must be lying. What? And he's a Navi Shek and he's going to be killed. What do you see from the Rambam? The very fact that you follow a Baskel is by definition against the Torah. What part of the Torah? Not Achrei Rabbi Lahatos. It's against the Torah that when the Torah says Lo B'Shamayim Hi. That means every Baskel by definition is against the Torah. Every Baskel by definition is not acceptable. And therefore, every Baskel by definition, if you follow Baskel in any area of Halacha, again, if he says, if a Baskel comes and says jump up and down three times, it's not against Halacha. It's not in the Halachic process. It's not like any, it's not telling you how to paskin and machlokas of Shlomo Zalman and Rabbi Yashiv. It's only related to halacha. Okay, listen to a Baskel. But if it's anything to do with halacha and the halachic process, that is not acceptable. Mm-hmm. What do we have, Rabosai? Machlokas, Tosis, and the Rambam. The Tosis said 2 minutes ago that as long as it's not, the Baskel isn't antithetical to Psak. Or as long as the Baskel's not to, you know, pat someone on the back and for somebody's covered, you'll listen to a Baskel. The Rambam says, by definition, if you follow a Baskel, it's against the Torah. Every Baskel's against Lo B'Shamayim Hi, that says that which the Torah says, don't follow Baskels. And therefore, according to the Rambam, you will never pass like a Baskel. So what are we going to have to do for the Rambam? We're going to be in bigger trouble. All the places in the Torah, in Chazal, where we see that there's a Baskel, for example, let's talk about Baal Tatik question in a second. Let's go back to that question about Beis Hillel. What did the Gemara say about Beis Hillel? We pass like Beis Hillel all the time against Beis Shammai. Well, how could we follow that Baskel? After all, yes, it's not going against the Halacha because Beis Hillel anyway are the majority. But either way, you can't follow the Baskel because every Baskel is Usher to play any role in halacha. This is the question. Look at the question on towards the bottom of the page of the Kesef Mishnah. And his answer is, I don't know. He says, I don't know. Aval kashali, says the Kesef Mishnah. The amru in perakam diyavamis, the yotz abas kolomar da halacha kebeis hillel. This is the Rami Yisori HaTorah Perak Tes, halacha dalet. The Kesef Mishnah there says, we see the Gemara Yavamis says, we listen to the baskol about beis hillel. And we always do that. We always do pass like Beis Hillel. Frek the Kesef Mishnah. Tosus gave his explanation. Ve'enu ol kavida as rabenu. But it doesn't work for the Rambam because Rambam says every Baskel has to be ignored. But Tzachian, I don't understand that Gemara. That Gemara seems to be against the Rambam. Yeah.
Rambam seems to be a little extreme.
Mm-hmm. The Rambam's very extreme.
No, in the aspect that if the Torah meant Lo B'Shamayim, you could have a Navi that tells you this, a Lo B'Shamayim Hi tells you don't listen to the Navi. Not that it didn't happen. Here he's saying that it's Sheker.
Yes, here we're saying that when he claims that he heard a Baskel get involved in a Psak Halacha, he must be lying. Not just that we will ignore him, but he, by definition, must be a liar because Hashem said in the Torah, there won't be any other. There won't be any interference with the mechanisms of halacha, the development of halacha and from a Baskel. It's a very good point.
The point that if the Rambam were right, that even if the Rambam were wrong, that we don't put him to death, but then we disregard him, even that's an important Tosis. Tosis says
sometimes you'll even follow it. You'll even follow. According to Tosis, you will follow a Baskel in the right circumstances. According to the Rambam, A, you don't, and B, by definition, it's Navi Sheker. Oh, there's such a thing as Navi Sheker. Navi Sheker is a guy.
Like,
well, either we'll listen to him if it's not against halacha. For example, if it says halacha is like Beis Hillel.
Yeah, the Navi says so.
If a Navi says that halacha is like Beis Hillel, and anyway, that it fits with it fits with the halachic process because Beis Hillel was the majority. So we'll honor him at the shul dinner. Wow, we had a Navi who is mechazik Beis Hillel, who's mechazik halacha. Beautiful Navi. Thank you, Navi. We want to give you a shlishi from now on, and you're going to be the guest man of this year because you gave us a beautiful nevuah. Okay. The Ran adds one point, which you could see towards the top of the next page. I underlined it. The Ran adds one point. In this story about Rebbe Lazar against the Chachamim, Rebbe Lazar says, I have all these proofs from Shemayim, and Chachamim say, no, it's Tameh, and we don't want to listen to your proofs from Shemayim. Who is right, by the way? Don't tell me how do we paskin. Who is right? Yaakov, what do you say? Who was right? I know you have to pass like the Chacham, like the Rov. But were the Rov right? Or was Rebbe Lazar right, but we just don't pass him like him? Yeah, that's what the Ran says. The Ran says, the one who was right was Rebbe Lazar. When the Baskel came out, it wasn't, you know, apologetics. It wasn't making him feel good. It was right. Rebbe Lazar's right. So how should Chachamim think when they know that they're absolutely wrong and they're saying something wrong? Exactly. Look at the words of the Ran, how he articulates that point that Zafir says. Look what I underlined. Acha shesichlam nota letame. Once their seichel, look at the role of seichel here in the next two lines. Once their seichel, their intelligence, their intellect says it's tame, even though they know they're wrong. They know they're wrong. But reason, the gift of reason that they were granted, tells them that this is what should be the conclusion, even though you know you're wrong. They didn't want to give in. If they would switch their psak to know what is really true and correct, they would be breaking the Torah. You know, I'll tell you in a different way. Sometimes you learn a sugya. You know, I learn, Hilchos Brachos, and you come to a conclusion. Let's say I come to a conclusion that, you know what, bracha you should make on chocolate. Well, how do you make chocolate? From a? Cocoa bean. Cocoa bean, what's the main product of a cocoa bean tree? Chocolate. A cocoa bean grows on a tree. Trees are bari pri. Right, so the main product of that is chocolate. So chocolate, you should make bari pri eggs. He did. I'm just going to accept. Yerushal Zalman said what I just said. Yeah. But let's say you're learning the sugi, you come to the conclusion, and you think it should be bari pri eggs. I mean, I know I'm wrong. Every bracha book in the world says it's shahakal. Every kid from the time they're 4 years old knows that it's shahakal. But so what do I do? Do I do what I think is, after I learn the sugi and I think I'm right, I do? No, I bow my head to... You know, I know I'm wrong, but so I do something else anyway. I do what I know is right. Again, that's for me. But when they were in the discussion of Rebbe Lazar against Chachamim, and they were actually figuring out these halachas, and they understood, you know, their understanding of halachas is much greater than mine. If they came out with something that makes sense to them, the halacha is they must hold by it, even though they know they're wrong. Incredible. Okay, but look at the last line, what I underline. Kevin shesichlam chiev letame shachra nimso lechach mehados, and whatever they think. So this is the role of chachma, the role of wisdom, the role of the seichel. Hashem gave the seichel incredible power. Whatever the seichel paskins, that's the halacha, regardless of being right or wrong. Yeah. That's different because... The example of Rabbi Yeshua coming on Yom Kippur to Gamliel is different because there he knows that the system, the mechanics of Rosh Chodesh is that whatever the Bezdin decides is the Rosh Chodesh. he might think that the Bezdin is, and there's a special Gzeiras HaKasa that even if the Bezdin is wrong, what the Paskin is really standing. What we're saying here is even if you don't have any special Gzeiras HaKasa like you have by Kiddush HaChodesh. Okay. Yeah. But again, there at least you have the Gzeiras HaKasa that says Atem Afilu. I don't know the sugya. Okay.
They hold
that would be shock on grape juice because it's a liquid. Grape juice. Oh, grape juice. It's not wine. It makes shock. Okay, could be. Okay. So now I want to. We're starting to open up the sugi a little bit. We realize that there's in Shas, there's Machlokas Rishonim. How do you deal with, what happens if there's a Baskel that's not against Allah? Would you follow it? Machlokas, Rambam, and against Tosfos. Now I want to start broadening the Shaila, and you'll see that it applies to not just, again, Baskel doesn't happen too often to us, but there are other areas of Halacha. I mentioned before that there are different ways that people get information from above. Look at what the Maritz Chayes writes in his comment in his sefer called Torah Nevi'im. L'fiz ma shebi'arti l'mala ha-Torah hazos hu rak manas v'chevel ha-chachamim. Means it's the portion of the chacham. Torah is owned by Torah is not God's. Torah is not humanity's. Torah is owned by the chachamim. And there's no place, ve'in mavo, there's no, right, safir, that's a beautiful word, ve'in mavo, there's no entree, l'hanevua, beruach hakodesh, ubaskol, ve, anyone know the next one? Urim v'tumim, very good. There's no role for urim v'tumim in halacha. Again, bedinim v'halacha. So again, there's a role for urim v'tumim. We have urim v'tumim for a reason. Should we go to melacha, should we not go to melacha? Should we appoint this person, or should we not appoint this person? But anyone, anywhere in halacha and in dinim, there's no role for nevuah, ruach hakodesh, baskel, urim v'tumim. These are all areas of, methods of some kind of revelation from above. And if that's the case, what about all those places where we say, oh, Eliyahu will tell us. Teiku, Tishpi, Yishtayis, Kushis, Abayos. All the other places we say, Yehemunach HaShiyavo, Eliyahu Hanavi, I don't understand. I thought Nevuah has no role in Eliyahu Hanavi. Nevuah has no role in Halacha. So all the places in Shas, Teiku, Yehemunach HaShiyavo, Eliyahu. Nahil mentioned Eliyahu, a whole bunch of cases where we see Eliyahu telling us this, Eliyahu telling us that, a case of Trefa Nevela. He mentions Teiku, another case, place of Chalitza or something, what to use for Chalitza. Eliyahu. How can we follow Eliyahu anywhere? After all, Eliyahu Hanavi, you're following him because he's a Navi, but that's not the...
We're saying that because we don't have an answer for saying we don't have
it. So you're saying that whenever it says we follow Eliyahu, it's a nice way of saying we don't know.
We don't have to know.
Wait, what are you saying? You're saying it doesn't really mean it, we're not really going to follow Eliyahu, or it means when you really don't know, then you're allowed to follow Eliyahu? Which one are you saying?
I'm saying that when the halacha says,
but what you said is against the Rambam that we said 3 minutes ago. Because you remember the Rambam says that if you apply a baskel or nevuah to anything that is halachic, that's against the Torah, and it's against the Torah of Lo Shemayim, and you kill the guy. No. It's going against the Torah not because it's. It, because the Torah told us, Lo b'shamayim hi. That's what it means it's going against the Torah. Not when it's going against the Torah, don't listen to a baskel. Any nevuah.
Over here, we have the ability to follow the Torah because our chachma is limited.
So what do you do when you're mistupik? You follow the rules of suffik.
Rabbi, I'm going to say.
Hi, Dad.
I'm going to say that maybe we're not following Eliyahu Novi. Alts Navi. What's her take? Why do we say Tishbi Torah? It's what about Moshe Rabbeinu? The unique thing about Eliyahu is that he's here with us all the time. He's contemporary. therefore he's contemporary, he knows the inyanim better than Moshe, who may already be obsolete in his view. So perhaps he's paskening. He's paskening. He's a contemporary Rav who's paskening with his seichel.
You're saying Elio never died, and therefore, whenever we happen, if Elio would come to me right now, he's still alive, and he's still talking to me not as Elio HaNavi, but as Eliyahu HaRabbi.
Right.
HaMechafa.
Right. Right.
I hear that. You're Mechava and Baruch Kivanta. We're going to get to it in a long time. We're not going to get to it for a little while, but the Chasam Sofer is going to say what you're saying. Baruch Kivanta to the Chasam Sofer. Beautiful. But we're not there yet. I'm just trying to raise questions. I want to ask two more questions before we get to one of the to some answers that the Hollander suggested. One answer, the answer to the Chasam Sofer, which we'll see a little bit more more in depth. That's a beautiful answer, Dr. Hollander. Baruch Kivanta. Dr. Hollander, you can give yourself a pat on your back, but don't twist your arm. What's that? Have you sure been living? Didn't die?
Yeah.
Yeah? I didn't know that. Okay. Forget. Okay. So now we have I'm going to ask, you remember, Tosus said, I'm going to ask a question both on Tosus and the Rambam. Tosus says that as long as the Baskel is not against halacha, and as long as the Baskel is not apologetics, it's just to, for somebody's covered, you could listen to a Baskel. I'm going to show you a Gemara that's clearly indicative that we wouldn't listen to Baskels, even if it's not for anyone's covered, and even if it's not against any halacha. This is a Gemara in Tzemura, Tes Zayin Amar Aleph. There, you could look lower down on the page, a quarter of the way from the bottom. Amar of Yehuda Mashmud, Tzemura Tes Zayin Amar Aleph. Shloshes Alaf Malachas Nishtaklu B'mei Evlo Shamosh. When Moshe died, Klal Yisrael lost 3,000 halachas. Does that mean that people remember them and the loss of Moshe brought sadness and we lost it? Does it mean that they were unclarified and we would have asked Moshe and Moshe is no longer here to answer the questions? I don't know. But when Moshe died, we lost 3,000 halachas. Amar lo Yehoshua, Sha'al. They said, Yehoshua, ask. What does that mean? Ask from Shemayim. Maybe through the Urim V'Tumim. Maybe you're an Avi. You could, talk directly. What did Yehoshua answer? Lo b'shamayimi. That's a good response. Amar lo l'Shmuel. They said to Shmuel Hanavi later on in history. Sha'al, these questions that we are answered, that we lost from the time for years. Sha'al, Amar lahem. The Torah says, Eila ha-mitzos. She'en Hanavi, Rashi l'chadesh, davar me'ata. Nevi'im like me, Shmuel Hanavi, can't be mechadesh anything. That's a very firm answer. Yeah, but that's a drasha, and he, as a Talmud Chacham, has the right to make a drasha as a Talmud Chacham. Here they're asking him, we don't know what halacha should be. Don't use your rabbi hat. Use your nevuah hat to just ask Sha'al min HaShamayim. What you're saying is good, and that echoes with what Dr. Hollander said a minute ago, that maybe Elio is different. Very good. Okay, the Brisa continues. The Masnisa Tana, the Brisa taught, it wasn't 3,000 halachas, it was 1,700 kavachomers and Zer Shavas that were lost in Evel Moshe. Amar Rabbi Abahu, Afal Pichain, guess what? Hechziron Osnio ben Knaz and Toch Pilpulo. Osnio ben Knaz was able to figure it out through his pilpul. What's the pilpul? Pilpul is not nevuah, right? Pilpul is logic, learning, that you're allowed to paskin. You're allowed to use your pilpul and your logic and your learning and your analysis. That's allowed. Okay. Can I ask you a question? If Yeshua would have asked Hashem, please open my eyes to know that these 3,000 halachas, is that against halacha? Is there a minority, a majority that's against? No. Is that apologetics that the Basco would only come out for someone's covered? Yeshua would go to a dark room. No one knows what he's asking. He'd come out and say, I have all the answers. It's not that any Basco or something's happening for anyone's covered. So why can't Yeshua ask Hashem? Or Shmuel, why can't Shmuel ask Hashem? Why do you have to rely on Asa ben Knaz using pilpul and lamdis and yeshivish chakiras? Why couldn't Yeshua? It must be. This is against Tosfos. This shows me like whom? that we don't want to listen to a Baskel, we don't want to listen to a Navi in any area of halacha, even if it's not a going against somebody, even if it's not apologetics. This sounds like the Rambam against Tosas. Tosas, you could listen to a Baskel, you could listen to Nevoah if it doesn't contradict anything else. Here you see that it's not contradicting any template of halacha, and we're still not willing to accept Nevoah.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Well, in the establishment of what had been, there are people who are like, oh, right, I never know what said that.
Or that doesn't make a difference. If you don't know, you can't be reminded from Nevuah, and then we say, oh, yeah, now I remember. Because you're introducing Nevuah into the halachic process.
Yeah, but it's
you're saying once you remember, it triggered your mind. I hear you. You're saying maybe if it just triggers your mind, and then they remember, oh, right.
I mean, it was then. It sounded even like us.
But it's a little bit weak, because like when the halacha is either A or B, and then you hear it's A. Oh, right, I remember it's A. You knew the two options. It was either A or B, and you didn't remember. Now,
with his pilpul.
No, pilpul's permitted. Pilpul's permitted. I want to, let's not talk about they forgot, and they reestablished it through pilpul. That's through learning Torah. That's allowed. That's fine.
Yeah, but that, you could do that on your own without having forgotten. Like if you just come
well, that it just happens to be that's what happened. I mean,
like if you just have a pilpul shayla and you come up with a proof one way or the other,
yeah,
not having known that there was a shayla that we had forgotten the answer to.
Okay, I don't know. I don't know. Let's hold on for that. Okay, I want to ask another kasha. This is what I mentioned between Mechamah, those of you who are here, I think most of you are here. The four letters, the five letters, Menatzpach, Mem and Mem Safis, Nun and Nun Safis, Tzadi and Tzadi Safis, Pei and Pei Safis, Chaf and Chaf Safis. So the Gemara says in Megillah, the very beginning of Megillah, Beis and Beis, look at the top page 3, Menatzpach, this idea of having the Safits, so the end of Nuns and end of Peis and end of Mems and end of Chafs, Sofim Amrim, Sofim are who? On the Nevi'e Hadoros. This concept of these letters were taught to us, were instructed to us by the Nevi'e. Correct the Gemara, what do you mean? Nevi'im aren't allowed to be the Chadish Torah. Eila HaMitzvos. She'ein Navi Rasha'el Chadish Tavar. So Gemara says, yeah. What happened was, we knew that there were these different forms of a letter, the round ones and the long ones. We just forgot which one is in the middle and which one is the end of the letter. How to implement them, where to apply them. We knew there's a round one and a long one, we just didn't know where. And the Nevi'im came and told us, no, the round ones are in the middle of the words, beginning or middle of the words, and the long ones are at the end of the words. Ask the Gemara, that doesn't answer the question. So if Eila HaMitzvos, the Torah says, these are the mitzvos, and a Navi can't be Mechadisha. The Navi can't tell you that either. Ella, look at the conclusion of the Gemara, what I underline. Shachachlam v'chazur v'yastam. It's not the Nevi'im were Mechadishit. We used to know the halacha. And the Nevi'im came and they re-established what we had forgotten. Look at Rashi. How do they re-establish it? Al pi hadibur, with Nevuah. Wait a second. What do you see? This seems to be acceptable. They're paskling based on Nevuah, aren't they? And that is against the Rambam. The Rambam says you can't paskin based on Nevuah. And here you see that they are paskin based on Nevuah. True, it was once known. But then they forgot, and Rashi explains how they forgot. It was Golos Bavel, and when they went to Bavel, they didn't have Torahs, and they didn't know this. They totally forgot how to write letters. They were in a different society, different language. They spoke Aramis and Babylonian, and they had Nevuah. So you see that if there's Nevuah, you could reintroduce Halacha with Nevuah, as long as it was something that you wanted to know. That's against the Rambam. The Rambam should say, Nevuah has no place in Torah Psak. And if you use Nevuah, according to the Rambam, if you use Nevuah to paskin anything, you should be killed. You're a Navi Sheker. Yes?
Is the question more in terms of the letters? Because we were using them quite separately.
Yes, we're talking about using these letters in the kashas of a Sefer Torah. Yes, Yaakov.
I thought that the Gemara said, how would work with the Torah to begin with?
Oh, you're talking about a different question. You're saying very good. The concept of reading the Megillah, that's a Takana Midrabanan. We're not talking about Takanas Midrabanan. We're talking about Rachachom have the right to Paskin, but that's not Nevuah. They're not doing that with Nevuah. based on their koach as chachamim, as chachmei haTorah, not through nevuah. Here we're trying to we have Torah says something, we don't know what the Torah holds, and we're going to use nevuah to figure it out. And that, so what do we have? We have Rav Ozai, one question on the Rambam, one question on Tosfos. We're totally messed up. We're totally confused right now. Some Gemara say you could have a nevuah and baskos and don't. Okay, let's try to take it another step further. And this is really, I guess, in a certain sense, the connection to Lag BaOmer. I do not know Kabbalah. I'll be the first one to say, yet. Thank you. That's very sweet of you. Amen. But there's a Sefer Eitz Chaim, Chaim Vital, which is Kabbalah or an introduction to Kabbalah. The Hakdama to Sefer Eitz Chaim of Chaim Vital. Chaim Vital was the Talmud of that Arizal, going back close to 500 years. And he describes the Arizal. And in this Hakdama to Sefer Eitz Chaim, I'd like to share with you a little bit about how he, well, we'll get to how he describes the Arizal. But first, he raises the point that every generation, or almost every generation, had a person, a unique individual, who had some kind of Ruach HaKodesh. Look at Rav Chaim Vital, Nachdam Te Esei Tzchaim. Now, I don't learn Rav Chaim Vital, I don't learn Sefer Tzchaim. There's a website called Olamot. Olamot is a organization created by a Yid in Los Angeles, Meir Goldwitz Machutin, Tzvi Reisman, who's a Talmud Chacham, you probably know him, Chazan. Tzvi Reisman is a Talmud Chacham and a very big philanthropist, and he created this organization that has a lot of shiurim online, and they had a shiur on this topic, and in that shiur it had the Samar Mekomos that I would never have found on my own, and this is one of them. So I want to give credit where credit is due. But look at what Rav Chaim Vital writes. B'chol dor v'dor, look on the right column. Shalom nimtzebo anashim, I'm sorry, ein b'chol dor v'dor, shalom nimtzebo anashim yichidei sgula. There's no generation that doesn't have unique, special people. Shashar Salem Ruach HaKodesh. In every generation, there's somebody or some people who have Ruach HaKodesh and are Zohar Eliyahu. And they, Eliyahu, teaches them what we'll call Kabbalah. As we see from the Sefer HaKanti, and he goes through the generations, skips a few lines, Rabbeinu Yitzchak Ibn Harav, Haragili Eliyahu, and the Ravid. And the Ravid gave it to his son, and the son, Ravid's son gave it to his son, Rav Yitzchak Sagi Nahor, the blind Rav Yitzchak, and he gave it to his two students, Rav Ezra, and Rav Azriel, I don't know who those are, and then finally got to the Ramban. The Ramban was that person in his generation. We know the Ramban has, you know, Kabbalah in his Perush HaTorah, he mentions things that are Kabbalah, says that, and he's much later than these previous generations he was that person. Okay. The Ravid talks about situation two places in the on when he comments on the Rambam. There's two places that the Ravid talks about the Nevuah, the Gili Eliyahu, or the Ruach HaKodesh that came based on which he passed concern halachas. You see what the problem is going to be. Okay, and now I'm getting to talk about my Rebbe. My Rebbe, the Arizal. So look how he describes his Rebbe, the Arizal. Look where I made that sort of circle. Harav Hagadol Haloki Hachosin Moiv Rabbi Kvol Moreno Harav Rabbeinu Yitzchak Luria Ashkenazi. So the Arizal. So first of all, Mali Torah Karimon B'Mikra B'Mishnah B'Talmud B'Pilpa B'Medrashim B'Hagadol B'Maisa Bracious Maisa Merkava. Okay, so he's describing his Rabbi as knowing everything. Great, we could say that about probably other people. Baki B'Sichas Ilonos B'Sichei Ufos. B'sichas Malachim. This is already getting a little. This is like Shlomo HaMelech. This is like Shlomo. The Psukim say by Shlomo HaMelech. I think that's Psukim, not even Drasha. Yamsim Azil also? Okay. So, Makir B'chachmas HaPartzuf. Wow. It's getting a little scary. The Arizal looks at your face and he, you know, starts figuring you out. Yodea B'chol Ma'aseh B'nei Adam She'asu. He knows what people did, Vishasilas, and what they will do. Yodea b'machshavos b'nei Adam. Even before, he knows what people think, even before they do it. Terem yotzim in hakoch l'apol. Yodea asidos, he knows what's going to be happening. V'chol hadvar ha'hov v'chol haretz, he knows everything that's happening everywhere. Whoa, this is really, again, this is the Arizal. Etc., etc., etc. etc., etc., etc. And all these chachmos, you see the underline, v'chala chachmos, and it's come, it's like kemunachem v'cheiko, it's like not even hard for him. V'chol eisha yirtze. Whatever he wants, he can access all this knowledge, nevu, whatever you want to call it, knowledge, wisdom, insight, kudu, I don't know what to call it. He doesn't have to like go out to the fields and it's just at his on the tips of his fingernails, on the tip of his fingernails. Okay, he said basically it's absolutely wild what my Rebbe, the Arizal, had reached. And now look at the last paragraph, top of the next page. And this is the most incredible thing. How did he get it? I guess somebody, a malach came and taught it to him, right? Says Chaim Vital, I don't know what that means. Not through something rather, I don't know what that means. You can't use magic or whatever else. Practical, okay. It was all from Ayidei Chasiduso uPrishusa, from his incredible, incredible Chasidus and Prishus, Acharis Oska, Yom Vishan Ramah, through his incredible, incredible Amelis and Avodas Hashem. Through learning, the Chachma, and through the learning that he did, and the chassidus that he practiced, and the preachers that he practiced, v'tara v'ktusha, that brought him l'idei Eliyahu Hanavi, shaya nigla ilav tamid, u'midabrimo pe'el peh, v'limdo zos ha'chachma. That's the punchline. All the stuff that Arizal did, he purified himself to such a great level that he was able to become so such a tzaddik and a kadosh and a tahar that Eliyahu came to him and taught him all these incredible things. Rabosai, what's my question? How in the world could anything that we do based on the Arizal, which is whatever halachas and practices that we do based on the Arizal, which are probably many, I don't have them, you know, off the tip of my head, but the Nusach of Tefillah, for example, that's a good one, and that's just one of probably dozens of things that we follow based on the Arizal. It's all coming from Gilui Eliyahu. That's the question I want to ask for tonight. That's really the main question for tonight. Basically, if I could just add one twist, the same is true with all of the Zohar. Everything that we do based on the Zohar, the same thing. The Zohar is, from what I understand, I don't know the Zohar, is what Eliyahu Hanavi taught Rav Shimon Bar Yochai in the cave. That's all from Gilui Eliyahu. You're asking a good point. According to Tosos, you could follow a Bas Kol. You're right. I have to say you're right.
Well, maybe this is not a Bas Kol. It's like they were there. They saw what was happening. It's a human being who wasn't Shemayim, saw what was going on, and he brought it down.
A human being who what? I'm sorry, human being who what?
A human being who had a connection to Shemayim. And he's telling us what he saw.
But we can't use that in Pesach. We can't follow that in Halacha. A human being telling us what happened in Shemayim is not the halachic process. That's not pilpul, like the Gemara says. That's
maybe if there's a machlaikis, but there's no machlaikis against that person. If he
the
says,
Rambam, like Yaakov pointed out, the Rambam says, I couldn't care less if there's a machlokis or no machlokis. You can't follow Halacha, the world of halacha cannot be informed by nevuah. And Eliyahu Hanavi is one example of a Navi.
But the takey maybe is because when he brings Mashiach, he's bringing back all of the Rabbanim to Pask and everything.
I'm not up to Mashiach. I'm trying to figure out all the things that we do. You're a Hasidus. You have this kasha more than all of us. All the things you do for the Arizal. You're the one who davens Nusach Sard, Nusach Arizal.
We have no kashas. Whatever, the fake things can kashas.
Don't worry, we're going to have answers. I'm not going to leave you hanging, Ravash. I'm not going to leave you hanging. Yes, inshallah. Yeah, an answer. Good.
He's not saying to Rabbi Yochai,
is
true. He's saying that. He's giving, using one of the methodologies of coming to a conclusion according to
Torah cannot, you can't come to a conclusion in Torah through knowledge of the heavens.
Yeah, that's right. He's telling the person how to learn it.
Oh, Shalom is saying a brilliant idea. Maybe all the Giluyim Eliyahu is like a Rebbe to help whoever he's Megal himself, who, Rav Shmuel Bar Yochai, Arizal, this is where you should use and clearly the Arizal could have figured out through some Lamdas and Chakira, and he's just like a guiding light, like a good Rebbe. When I have a master's in education, and the difference between the old style education and progressive education is that old style educators stand in front of a classroom and tell you stuff. A more progressive teacher is supposed to prompt you to figure things out on your own. That's progressive education. So Shalom suggests that that's all Elio did. He just sort of gave hints to let, coached and coaxed Rav Shmuel Bar Yochai. If that's true, then that does answer our question. I hear that. What? How do you change the way we shake the lulav? How do you change the seder tefillah? That I don't know how you're gonna change. Oh, so Shalom will tell you. Maybe Elio showed him to learn galachas. I don't know. Okay. So what we're gonna do now is gonna bring about three or four ways, new perspectives to look at this whole sugya that we just raised. Of what could we listen to from Shemayim? What can't we? We seem to have a machlokas. We have steers in Shas. We have Gemaras all over the place on two sides of the coin. We have these kashas from all of Kabbalah, basically. Everything that we have from the Zohar, which is a Gilui Elio, everything we have from the Arizal, which is all Gilui Elio, as Chaim Vital tells us. Let's now see a few answers. So the first one will be what Dr. Hamdu was mechaven to Baruch Shekivanta to the Chasim Sofer. In Chelek Vav of the Shas, which is Chasim Sofer, Simen Tzadiches. The Chasim Sofer is dealing with a sugya in Hilchos Shabbos that talks about Tchum, and there's a sugya of Tchum, Lamala Me'asara, and not Lamala Me'asara, which raises the issue of can Mashiach come on Shabbos? And Mashiach can't come on Shabbos because if he comes, he's from out of the Tchum. And he can't come from out of the Tchum, and therefore, so I always figured, let's let him come on Shabbos, and then we'll find a heter afterwards. That's what I always thought. I don't know what the heter was. You told me once. You told me once.
That's true. What is from Eruv? Because Eruv goes horizontally, not vertically.
Yeah, I'm not holding the sugya of any
Eruv. And also, at the end of the Torah, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Sefer Torah, and they were...
Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Sefer Torah here and there.
There were planes, and then all of a sudden, he's on a map, actually going from the planes to the map.
And
it was. You can't see. Yeah, you gotta go out to home. The entrance, you don't know.
That could be. Okay, you have answers to the sugya. I don't want to get into that. That's sugya. Okay. But look at the Chasim Sofer's questions. The fabulous questions. And I think when we look at these questions, you're going to act differently at every bris. You're telling me, ask the Chasim Sofer in the second paragraph, you're telling me that Eliyahu Navi can't come on Shabbos because it's out of the Tchum. Did you ever go to Bris? Bris is, you were at a Bris, it wasn't Shabbos. But if it would be a Shabbos Bris, guess what? It would be the same exact thing. And the Mall is going to say, Hine Kisei Shel Eliyahu Zachur
L'Tov.
What? Oh, you're saying that Eliyahu comes and stays the night before.
Yeah, but there's another Bris in Barakbah.
Right, there's another Bris. Yeah, how does he get from there to there? Look at the Chassid. Somebody asked this as a Kasha, Vesu. Look at this kasha. The Chasim Sofer is asking a wild kasha. Darinagu alma b'mila lemor zek hisei shel Eliyahu zachur l'tov. And what does the Namol ask? The Namol says, "Amod al yamini l'samcheni." Yes, Eliyahu Navi amod yamini l'samcheni. And he says it even on Shabbos. What do you mean? But he's not allowed to come on. Eliyahu can't come on Shabbos. It's outside the Tchum. If Eliyahu can't come to bring Mashiach, for heaven's sake, he's going to come to a bris. Oh, so I have an answer. I just let it on the spot in your zachus. Mechal Shabbos for a bris mila, right? Bris mila, you can't ask a kasha for a bris mila. Mechal Shabbos. Okay, maybe. Okay, very good. That's an answer to this kasha. Okay, Viter asks the another kasha. Does anyone sing here Hamavdu Ben Kadosh Lachol? Fine. Anyone sing Eliyahu Navi on Matzah Shabbos? Why do we sing songs about Eliyahu Navi? The reason why we sing songs about Eliyahu Navi, says the Chasam Sofer, is because he couldn't come on Shabbos. Now he could come. You didn't come. It's like after COVID, you call your great aunt who couldn't come to visit you for the past 2-3 years. Okay, so and Tanta Sprinza, COVID's over. Why don't you come visit us now, right? Eliana, you haven't come. Now you can finally come visit us. Wait a second. Ask the Chasam Sofer. If that's the reason, so we should sing on Matzah Yantif also. Because there's a din of Tchum on Yantif. And there's no minhag of singing Eliyahu Navi on Matzah Yantif. You see how seriously he's taking minhagim. His mom is asking kashas on a sugya from a minhag of not singing, of singing Eliyahu Navi. I think I have to start singing Eliyahu Navi on Matzah Shabbos. It's a serious thing. The Chasam Sofer is like, really? So you know what the Chasam Sofer answers? He answers, Dr. Hollander, listen to this. This is, you started the beginning of this, but the Chasam Sofer is going to take it an atomic step forward. The Chasam Sofer is going to be mechader something absolutely brilliant. There's two Eliyahu Navis. Let me rephrase that. There's one Eliyahu Navi, but Eliyahu Navi exists on two planes. He exists as human being Eliyahu Navi, and he exists as Malach Eliyahu Navi. I'm scared to say this by myself, and let's see it in his words. Aval ha'emes yoredarko, ki me'olam lo ala Eliyahu begufo l'mal me'asar tfachim. Eliyahu's body only never left the ground. What left did leave the ground? His neshama, which didn't die, but it went higher. And therefore, his neshama is where, look what I underlined, v'haneshama olo mishamesh l'mala be'malachi asharis. Eliyahu Navi's neshama is up in Shammai with the Malachim. Where's his body? His body never left this earth. His body is somewhere, well, it's not like, you know, mamish on earth, but it's somewhere in some low place in Gan Eden, some lower place that's still accessible. In this Gan Eden hatachton ba'olam hazeh. I don't know if those four words mean. Look at the words. Gufon is daktik, Vishora is resting, began Eden hatach tovam hazeh. Oh, so now let's think. What's going to happen when Mashiach comes? Which aspect of Eliyahu is going to come? When Mashiach comes, Eliyahu is going to come as a human being to be mevashet to us that Mashiach is on his way. Eliyahu Hanavi is going to come three days before, and say, Kol mevaser, right? That's what she is. Eliyahu's going to announce. He's here. When he comes, he's going to come as a human being. As a human being, he's going to come from which of his two identities? His body identity. Where was that? That's still in this world. So if he's in this world, we're going to treat him as a human. If he's a human, he has to be bound by the halachos of tchum, and he can't come from out of the tchum. So guess when can't he come? Can't come on Shabbos. Look at what I underlined in the next pack. Biyom ha-besora, from here of Yomenu, tislabesh nishmaso beguf ha-kadosh halaz. His neshama will be nislabesh in the guf, he'll come as a guf. Vaz hu kechol adam. He's going to have a halacha of a, Datahanda, this is the point that you were mechavin to. He's going to have a halacha when he comes like this as a human being. If he's a human being, he has the power of a, not a Navi, but a Talmud Chacham, exactly. And he's a chacham who has smicha. He's a rabbi who has smicha from either Achia Hashiloni or maybe Moshe Rabbeinu if he's Pinchas. And he could give smicha to the rest of the chachamim. And that's how smicha will be reinstated. And therefore, when he comes like that, he's bound by halacha. And he can't come from outside the tchum. That's why he can't come on Shabbos. Oh, but when he comes as a bris, which Eliyahu now he comes as a bris? Does he walk in? Do you see him? What's he wearing? What? Oh wow, we say Malachabris, beautiful. I never even noticed that. He comes not, you don't see him. When he walks into the bris, what color tie is he wearing? You know, how is his yarmulke black or knit or crocheted or white or velvet? I don't know. Why not? Because I don't see him. That means he's not coming as a goof. Like he will when he's going to be Mavas to the Besara of Mashiach. Then he's coming as a Malach, as a Navi, as some other thing. It's not a human. When he comes in that role, he's not bound by the limitations of a human, or the halachas of a human. Ach kishes mitgaleh b'nishmato kumo b'yom hamila. When he comes as his neshama, and I assume like he comes to the Seder also, that's why the kids will ask, how come he doesn't get drunk, right? There's the answer, because he's coming as a neshama. That's why you don't see him, because he's coming as a neshama. I don't know. You're asking why are we coming for the Kosher Lelia? I don't know. Yeah. Okay. Good. Good. Okay. Good. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. You're right. Okay. You're right.
It's not that it's drinking chametz.
Okay, fine. You're fine. So anyway, when he comes in that form of bris mil, at the bris mil, when he's a malach, when he comes not as a person, then whatever he will come in that situation, that matzav, he will not be able to paskin anything. Because in that situation, he's coming not as Elio the human, but as Elio the neshama. And that, he can't paskin. That would be the same situation as Emashkich and Mabasko. Oh, you remember we started with a question half an hour ago. Eliyahu Yitar Eliyahu Teiku Tishbi Yitayis Kushas Vebayos. We asked, how could he paskin? And it's below B'Shamayim B'Yam. And we asked, Yehemurach Adshiyavu Eliyahu, how could Eliyahu Hanavi paskin? Yehemurach, whatever other answers that we say, Adshiyavu Eliyahu, and Eliyahu will paskin this and paskin this, how could he paskin? Below B'Shamayim. The answer is, when Eliyahu comes as in that point in history, when he will do all those answers, give us all the answers, he's going to come as a human, Nislabish Beguf, and he'll be able to paskin as a Rav, as a Talmud Chacham, and that's why he'll be able to paskin. It's not Lo B'Shamayim, because he's going to come not in a Matzah Lo Shamayim. That's what that Talmud said, we just developed.
He's giving you the answer, not because.
Correct, but he's going to come as a Rav, he's going
to.
Yeah, you said it more. You said it more. Yeah. He's going to come as a Rav. Right. What? Oh, so that, what are we going to have to say when it comes to that Arizal? It must be, according to this Chasam Sofer. Again, the Chasam Sofer is not going to answer our question. It must, according to the way we asked our question, that how could the Arizal, how could the Arizal taught Rav Shammai Chai all the Zohar, all the halachas from the Zohar, and all of the teaching of the Arizal, all the halachas that we follow from them, from the Zohar and from the Arizal, must be that Eliyahu came not as a neshama, but as a person. And if that's the case, he came as a rabbi, as a rabbi, as a Talmud Chacham, and he has every right to teach Chachma, and it's not B'Shamayim.
Many times in the Shasi, it gives us a person.
Yeah, he does appear in some situations as a person, yeah.
Who's Sabbath and where is Eliyahu?
Okay, so that Chasam Sofer answered just about all of our questions. Brilliant. I'd like to give another, just finish off this year, with another one or two or three answers, which some of which are, they're all going to be somewhat similar, that they'll still be somewhat similar. Comes the Maratz Chias, you see in my chart, the Maratz Chias, in his Sefer, Toras HaNeviim, Kisvei Maratz Chias, Chelek Aleph, he says the following. Again, there's a Maramakam that I would not have, never have found on my own, but it was from this Olamot Shir, set of Maramakamas. So the Ma'atchiyah says the following. He says, don't think that Eliyahu Navi is going to be paskening. He's just going to be clarifying for us situations that we are unsure of. Meaning, there's one kind of thing when we don't know what the halacha is. There's another kind of thing that we don't know. One second. Right. So he's not teaching us halacha, he just clarifying for us
what type of shul.
Okay, let's look at what he says, because I don't know if I'm saying this right. How could lo yuchlu second line lo yuchlu hachacham lomar kandat and gavvai? Rak Eliyahu zachal atov. There are certain things that people can't figure out, but Eliyahu zachal atov yivara lano eizem mehen haksheros eizem mehen hapsulos. Look, she yispar lano ade Eliyahu kevan shu navi mufsak chayavim. We were going to have to believe him.
That's a navi.
No, because he's a navi, we're going to believe him. But once we know that we should believe him, then he could teach us. To clarify, I'm not sure what he's saying exactly. He's not going to be paskening. That's what he's trying to say. He's not going to be paskening. He's going to be clarifying things that we're not certain of. Okay, I'm not sure how to say this. The Kovetz Shiurim doesn't answer that. The Rabbi Chanan Wasserman gives another answer to this general question, but it's a very specific question. Let's talk about Hashavas Aveda. Right? You find a jacket without any name. Right, so what do you have to do? Yemunach Hashiyav Eliyahu. You have to keep it in your house, right? I remember when I lived in Washington Heights, we must have had a guest who left a hair dryer, a hair blower, in our house, and we just found there was a hairdryer in our house. We have no idea where it came from, who left it here, and it's just sitting there. We don't know. Maybe it was there before we moved in. Maybe it was somebody, a guest that we had in the years that we lived in Washington Heights. Well, guess what? When we moved, we took this hairdryer with us because we're going to have to give it back to someone at some point. I don't know who. But when Eli comes, he had Murach HaShiyav Eliyahu. Now, how can we follow Eliyahu? In order to be motzi something, you need two witnesses, right? To be motzi mammon, you have to prove it with two witnesses.
Yeah, they don't need to tell you who it is.
I can't follow that without two witnesses. That's anti-halachic. Halacha says you can't be motzi mammon without two witnesses. You can't use nevuah. Look what Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman says, a beautiful svara. When Eliyahu tells you that it's so-and-so's, what are you going to respond? No, I'm not going to say, how do you know? Of course he knows. He's Eliyahu Nav. He says he has nevuah. But what am I going to respond? I don't have to give it back? I'll feel like such an idiot if I do that. Because I know he's right. I just don't have to follow him. So why am I going to follow him? Not because I have to, but because I'll be embarrassed not to. Look what the Rochanan says on the left side. When it says, Yemunach HaShiyav Eliyahu, so Eliyahu will be believed. It can't be that he's believed, because you need to aid him. Rather, when Eliyahu will come, Yavo Habal Din Ba'atzmo, Seish Ba'ish Lichfor Befnei Eliyahu. The person who has the money, who has to pay the money, whoever, whatever the case was, not just in the case of, that I just described of, not just in the case of Hashem Saveda, but in certain monetary disputes, when the word Chabesin don't know, and they say, Yehemunach HaShiyav Eliyahu, when Eliyahu says, what halacha is, the person, you're right, you don't have to follow Eliyahu, but you're going to feel like a doofus to not, to you. Everyone knows it's the truth, and you're not doing it. You'll just, of course you'll follow it, not because you have to, but you'll want to because it's, you know, that's the truth, and you don't have to, the Bezin can't force it, but of course you want to, because otherwise you look like a fool. But again, that only answers a very specific, you know, how could you follow Eliyahu by Yehemunach HaShiyav Eliyahu. Let's finish off with one last Mahalach that answers a number of other questions. This is from Rav Yaakov Hillel. Rav Yaakov Hillel was asked by, I think, the Moetzes Gedolei HaTorah, when there were a lot of charlatans and mekubalim who were making a lot of money selling cures to, you know, I don't know, cancer and everything else, and all the terrible things that people encounter and are vulnerable, and these fake mekubalim were taking advantage of making a lot of money. And it got really bad. And a few years ago, I think the Moetzes Chachmei HaTorah, the Aguda, whoever it was, asked Rav Yaakov Hillel, who is the Rosh Hashiv of the Yeshiva Lemekubalim, to write a book. It's in Hebrew, Tamim Tia, and in English it's called Faith and Folly. Nice name. And this is, Rav Yaakov Hillel is a tremendous Mekubal, who's American, who speaks a beautiful English, and he's recognized as one of the great Mekubalim of Eretz Yisrael. And this is from his Sefer, Eid HaGal HaZeh. That's the name of the Sefer, Eid HaGal HaZeh, Sha'ar Rishon Perek Zayin. And he is bothered by what our basic question that we have tonight, which is, how could we be following Eliyahu Navi and Darizal and Rishon Bar Yochai and Baskols and all these things from Shemayim if it's Lomen Hashem, Lo Bashemayim? That's the question that we're asking tonight. And he has a very interesting, maybe new answer that we haven't seen previously. And what he suggests is that it depends on how and when Eliyahu, maybe this is what Shalom was saying earlier, but with a touch different. It depends how and when Eliyahu comes to you, or the Gilui comes, or the Baskol comes. If it comes, let's see how he says it. How can we follow Ruach HaKodesh after Olav HaShemayim? Look where it's highlighted. He's specifically coming to answer the various Gemaras where we said that the Nevi'im came and reestablished how to put the Mems and Nuns and Samachs and Peres. What do you mean? How could you have Nevi'im reestablish it from Nevuah? Says Rav Yaakov Hillel that the Nevi'im did it, look what I highlighted, b'derech limuda. Not as just a Nevuah in a vacuum, but as they were learning the Sugya, the Navi, as they learned the sugya, had this inspiration from heaven, this Ruach HaKodesh, this Siyata Dishmaya, through their learning, that's what it means that the Nevi'im rediscovered what how to put the mems and the nuns and the tzadis. That's what it means when Nevi'im figured, you know, came to this halacha. That's what it means when Eliyahu, and he's not talking about Eliyahu, but maybe it's a similar idea. When Eliyahu was Megale, yeah, when Eliyahu was Megale to Reb Shimon Bar Yochai or to the Arizal, it's that they were learning together. As Reb Shimon Bar Yochai was learning, there was Eliyahu Navi enabled him to learn better. It's sort of what you said, Yom HaChametz. I think that's what you're saying. If it's through learning, and through following the halachic process, following the process of chakira and chachma and seichel, and but if it's with a great rabbi, I guess exactly what you said before. If it's with a great rabbi like Eliyahu Navi, like the Nevi'im, and they came to whatever conclusions with that divine intervention, but it was during and through and while they were learning the sugyas, that is not considered a violation of Hashemayim. That's what Yaakov Hillel says. That's what Shom I think was mechamen to before. And if that's the case, then we really answered all the questions that we had. Because any question that we had of how could you follow Arizal, I mean Eliyahu Navi, how could Arizal follow Eliyahu Navi, how could the Zohar, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai get it from Eliyahu Navi, how could we follow? Well, it doesn't answer like Lasid Lavo, Eliyahu will clarify. Well, Lasid Lavo, well, the questions that we have, Tichvi, Yishbayar, Yitayas, Kushis, Abayas, it's not just going to be Eliyahu's going to pop and say the halachas like this. He's going to give a shir klali. We're going to be sitting. We're going to be working on the sugya. We're going to be harping and learning. We're going to be working hard. And then he's going to be teaching us the sugya. And then we'll be informed. And that way it will be through the sugya, even though it's coming from the Rebbe, happens to be a Navi. But he's presenting it to us something along, again, how to say it exactly. That's what Yaakov Hillel suggests would be the way we can resolve all the contradictions that we have in terms of, on one hand, Lo B'Shamayim, that's going to be in a vacuum. Lo B'Shamayim, we're going to ignore. We're not going to, if a basket of stam comes out while you're walking home tonight, no. If while you're walking home tonight, you're thinking about the shir the whole time, and while you're thinking about the shir, Eliyahu Navi comes to you and says, this is the real answer to tonight's question, then you can listen to him.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.